This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
And welcome to All Things Transformers episode. Well, it's 52. Still virtual. Yeah, it's new 52.
Oh, no. Your solo episode
version 3.0. I know, I'm just playing. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in the Cybernet Space Cube is.
I refuse to call it that.
Too bad, that's what my news section's called.
I refuse to call it that, people.
You can
call it the Matrix of Leadership. You can call it whatever the hell. Yep. I refuse to call it that inane, stupid piece of
Well, the Cybernet Space Cube is where the news resides.
Yeah, well.
The Teletran Files is like Elkars, which that will come in a future week. Yeah. And then, the future, you know, whatever the informative bit would be. the Matrix of Leadership. Do-do-ch.
Oh, boy.
Anyways.
Can you tell we're rusty, folks? It's been a while since we've done one of these together.
Rusty?
Yeah.
Cosmic rusty.
Yeah.
Could be worse. We could have the hate plague. We've had that in previous ATTFs before. I will say that.
I'm a Peppa. Don't you want to be a Peppa too?
No.
Good old Rengar.
Alrighty. So, yeah, what's new?
Oh, not much.
In your Transformers universe, I mean.
Oh, surprisingly not a lot, because I'm really just coming off of reading the Windblade series, which has ended, the Windblade comic series. I am still reading the Transformers R.I.D. Toon comic based on the new animated series. I'm actually not reading any of the two ongoings, the book formerly known as RID, since it's now just Transformers, and then More Than Meets the Eye. I dropped out a while ago on reading those. It's not that I don't want to read them. I was in a place and just in a mood where I just didn't really care. So I need to go back eventually and reread all that stuff. Let's see, other Transformers stuff. This is the Transformers show. I finally did get to see, as it aired before I moved, the end of RID, season one. So that was interesting. I'm kind of hoping for season two that they bring in a certain flame-grilled car, as long as they get either Judd Nelson or Dick Gaudier to voice him, but I don't think they will. Let's see, what else? Outside of some of the comic stuff, I haven't really been paying too much attention about Transformers. I've been really putting my attentions elsewhere to better use, because I, for the last 3, 4, 5 years, I'd say at least 4 years, I've just been so burnt out on Transformers. I mean, you know, I had fun when we did the whole retrospective 30th anniversary thing.
That was great.
You know, I absolutely had fun doing that and that kind of thing. And at this point in my Transformers fandom, I, outside of the anything that's US based, I can pretty much, you know, have a somewhat love-hate relationship with it. The only thing I normally usually hate is anything from the Unicron trilogy, because they all sucked for the most part. My personal opinion. But it's one of those things where it's like I've become to this point where I find myself justifying and defending every Transformers brand that I enjoy, whether that be G1, whether that be Beast Wars, whether that be Beast Machines, Animated, Prime, whatever, because the Transformers fandom is still so far in the point of you know, it's still so, I don't want to use the term segregated, but segmented to the point of you got your the Transformers fandom, folks, in my personal opinion, is really like high school. You got your G1ers over here at this table. You got your Beast Wars over here at this table. You got your Beast Machines and Transtech back there. You got your animated over, you know, in that gymnasium. And it just, at this point, I like what I like. And I, if I don't like it, I don't really give a, you know, I'll try anything once. But if I don't really give a crap about it after three or four episodes or whatever, I just don't pay attention to it. I don't dislike Rescue Bots, but it's not aimed at me. It's aimed more towards kids, and I get that and I understand that, but I still have yet, I've seen several episodes of Rescue Bots, but in its 3-4 however many seasons it's had so far,
it's gotten better when they got the dinosaurs and got Prime kind of jumping in there more. I will say that Rid, I really enjoy it. I'm not a fan of the humans. I understand what they're going for.
When are you never? When, you
I
never
actually didn't mind them all that much in Prime.
Yeah.
And, it, I mean, yeah, a couple of them would rub me wrong a little bit. But, I mean, for the most part, they weren't that bad during Prime.
Yeah.
It was all the other series.
I mean, Denny and Russell are all right. It's a different, again.
It's a different dynamic,
it's,
yeah.
It's Hasbro wanting to cater to two different types of child fans. They're not catering towards us.
Well, what they did, and I was reading this, is they mixed what kids enjoyed of Transformers Prime with like aspects of like Transformers, say animated and Rescue Bots, and kind of made this because it was so dark during Transformers Prime that kids kind of tuned out for it and found it to be too
scary. I thought that was the point, though. The point at the time when we had Prime, Prime was for us. Prime was for the adult fans. If the kids wanted a Transformers show to see Transformers and whatever else, they had Rescue Bots. I thought that was the whole point of having the two shows.
Well, incidentally, when they ended Prime and they gave this the green light, which it's only slated for like 52 episodes total, they planned on combining, like building on the universe that was in Prime and then going from there.
And which they have. I mean,
which is nice. Yeah. And then they're going to have a bunch of, like, you know, Ratchet's going to come back, and you're going to see, you know, some various other Autobots show back up, but. I'm hoping, I have my fingers crossed for some Decepticons.
Well, there have been Decepticons, just none we know about.
That's what my point is. You know, I'm kind of looking for that screechy voiced Jet, or sniveling Jet, as Transformers Prime portrayed him.
Yes.
To come in and you know, take command.
See, this is the problem with rolling off of Prime's content. Like, I almost wish that, okay, and this is, ladies and gentlemen, this is coming from a person who is a continuity stickler. I almost wish Rid was not in, like, a direct connection to the Prime universe. You can still have Will Friedle as the voice of Bumblebee. You can still have, you know, whatever. But I wish the story wasn't so tied in with Prime and a continuation of Prime and a different animation style. You can have that different animation style, but tell a new and different story, not necessarily an origin story like every series does. But the problem with it connecting to Prime is, and this is what I found out after watching the season one finale, there's no Megatron. There's never going to be a Megatron, because at the end of Prime, Megatron said, screw it. It's, you know, it's not, you know, fighting all this time is not worth it anymore. I'm going to go relax now.
Starscream gets eaten by a Predacon.
Right. But then, you know, so Megatron's off being the old man and, you know, sitting on his rocker. And then you get his name, where he got his namesake from in Megatronus in this series as the core villain at the end. And at first I honestly thought they were going to, the way the face was in the finale before he revealed himself, the way the computer face was, I really thought it was going to be Soundwave at first, just the way the face looked on what's his name? Steeljaw's computer thing. But I just don't know, because Megatron is off being an old man somewhere, being peaceful or whatever. Megatronus is essentially destroyed after season one. I don't know where else they can, I mean, unless they're going to get, you know, Galvatron or something, you know, or...
I think that Megatron's going to come back.
Yeah, potentially.
Well, they even hinted at him. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they name-dropped him, but... And that doesn't necessarily mean he'll be back, and I'm probably one of those fans that's grasping at straws here, but... I'm hoping that that straw is actually Megatron and not, you know, the, I want somebody to come in and just beat Steeljaw into submission and take command. And being
Megatron,
that it's only
56 episodes, is that you? This is bad comedy.
Starscream will come in after him and be like, I told you it wasn't a good choice.
I know they're never going to go back to this, the whole Megatron, Galvatron, the whole Megatron being a gun, Galvatron being a cannon. I know they're never going to go back to that, but I really want to know who the listeners think and who you think in this day and age, since we no longer have Leonard Nimoy, sadly. Who could
Spock?
Be... No. Who could be... Spock is dead. There is no more future Spock.
I have future Spock.
No, he's dead.
I have his account.
Anyway, I really wonder who they could get to do Galvatron in an animated series in the original transformation canon robot form. And easily I could say Frank in his crazy season 3 G1 voice, but... I'm kind of wondering who, if they ever use Galvatron again in a cartoon, what voice actor they would get to not necessarily sound similar to Leonard Nimoy from the movie, but that would be somewhat like him. That yes. As much as I like him, he's got too much of a beast in him.
You could do his Cybertron version.
You know, Transformers Rid, it's an alright cartoon. I enjoy it from what it was. I think really where it got kicked up a notch is when they introduced Windblade. I loved that. I thought that was really cool. But yeah, I mean, outside of some of the comic stuff, I'm kind of off the beaten path with Transformers these days. I know, because a lot of people that listen to ATTF, or at least a lot of people that used to listen to ATTF, still listen to some of the old G1 and other stuff that I've done. I know I've been promising for almost 4 years now to do TFG2 and do G1 right and whatever else, and just there's just been too much crap happening in my life that I'm just not in a place where I want to do it. And I have to be... I've said this since I first started podcasting. If I'm not invested in it, I'm not going to sit here and put out a crap tacky. You know, TFG1, you guys can't blame me for that since that was my first thing. But, you know, I'm not going to sit here and most of the time I will not sit here and put out a craptacular product unless, you know, it's something I have to do or whatever else. And normally I try not to do that, so... I don't know when TFG2 is going to happen, if it happens. But yeah, I mean, I'm more so ensconced in so many other fandoms these days. I still pay attention to the news and stuff, some of the news with Transformers, though. What about you? What's going on with you and your Transformers world?
Well, I've been watching the news on BotCon unveil,
mm-hmm.
And crying to myself. So there's that, and then I've been kind of just glancing at a lot of the toy stuff and wanting to choke a bitch at Paramount for their 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Okay, well, let's get into this, folks, because... Was it San Diego Comic-Con that this was announced, I think? Yeah, San Diego Comic-Con... then Hasbro and Paramount and whoever announced that over the next 10 years, we're going to get 4 more live-action Transformers films.
My question, where the hell are they going to take it? Plus, we're getting two animated films.
I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
And you know, you hear the rumor about director for five?
Del Toro?
Nope, he's done the last four.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That would have been the easiest solution, but they're like, eh, let's just throw some more money at him. Let him do a couple other films first.
I just, like, at this point in Michael Bay's career, I don't think anyone in the last 10 years can tell me a movie that he hasn't done that isn't Transformers.
Like, I would rather see him doing... I want to see him do the next two Bad Boys over doing Transformers.
That's where
Because at least going. Those were good.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I'm kind of going with this. Because ever since Michael Bay... And I'm not Bay bashing here, folks.
It's actually partially his fault, but it's partially not. It's mostly the writers.
I know, and I'm not blaming him. But as the director and the way he directs, he wants control over everything. You know, he wants to go back and look over the writer's shoulder and, oh, that wouldn't happen. Yeah, I don't know if he actually did that or not. And I'm not trying to sit here and bash him. But what I'm saying is, in the last 10 years, from 2015 all the way back to 2005, 2 years before the first Transformers movie came out, can anyone name me, and I'm not talking to you, Steve, can anyone name me a Michael Bay film outside of Transformers? Because that's what he's become in the last 10 years. He's become the guy that directs Transformers. I know people are going to throw Pain and Gain at me.
I was going to say that.
People are going to throw Bad Boys 1 and 2.
But that was before Transformers.
I know. That was before. I'm saying as of 2007, from 2007 to now, can anybody name me a Michael Bay directed film other than the four Transformers movies?
And Pain and Gain.
Yeah, because we already gave that one to you. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I go to the Transformers movies. I've seen all four of them. I enjoy them for what they are. I try not to put too much stock in them. You know, for me...
I will say this. The first one I did see in the theaters, and I did, like... It hit that nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
And when the first time I heard Prime speak, I actually got, like, you know, the emotional over it.
Yeah.
Because it was just so epic. Mm-hmm. And the first film was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
It's when we got past the first film, I wanted to quit watching the movies. The second one I saw in the theater, thankfully for free. I found ways of getting tickets.
Yes.
Well, I meant, like, they were off DVDs. But, like I said, I figured out a way to get there. And we went and saw it. I was stuck in the front row, so of course it was like my neck was killing me and watching the movie, so I didn't really care. It was free. But
yeah.
The movie was terrible. And then you get to the third movie, and it was at least redeeming.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, you know, like, you know, Spock went batshit crazy, you know, and stuff like that, and, you know, which explains Leonard Nimoy's point there. But then four, like, I don't know what happened there. I would rather watch the second one over watching four, because
wow,
four makes no damn sense at all.
Yeah. Yeah, four was, I don't know. It was really, really weird.
I have to bitch slap this Dinobot to make him one of mine. Dino Riders, let's roll.
Oh God, don't even go there.
The movie was just terrible. Like, the plot was pretty crap. I mean, the dialogue wasn't very good. The Prime was, he was, might as well have been Megatron. Galvatron served no purpose, although the humans are like, oh, we took him from the husk of Megatron. Yeah, this makes a lot of sense, being what we know about what, you know, he spawned in the first movie and the second movie and the third movie. Let's just resurrect him. No big deal. Let's pull a Cobra.
Yeah.
From the G2 comics. And so, I mean, I had so many issues with that fourth film. And I can't even fathom like what they're going to do with the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. Because they really don't have any villains left unless they start creating them out of their butthole.
Have they... They haven't brought Unicron yet, right?
Yeah, but I mean, think about it. How is that going to play out?
I know. Oh, okay, well... Yeah,
and I know that they're talking in some of these other movies that they are planning to leave Earth. Which right. would be a godsend to these films.
See, here's the thing. Specifically to the 4th movie, the one thing that I absolutely cannot stand, and I hope they do never do this again, ever
Mark
again.
Mark Wahlberg? I'm a scientist. I fix things.
Not, no, it is
I'm nothing, an engineer. Like, constantly reminding us the whole film.
Yeah, but see, I don't blame him. That was a line he had to say.
Well, I know. That was piss poor writing.
Yeah. See, like... It's
he was paid. He did exactly what he was told.
Right, but see, that's the thing. It kind of goes back to, oh my god, this goes back to an argument we always have, where I'm always, oh my god, Ryan Reynolds, Green Lantern, no, and you're like, but it wasn't his fault. It was the writing. And in this case, it wasn't Mark's fault. It was the writing.
It was,
but it's, I know
it was not the same instance with Green Lantern.
No, I'm not going to start that argument again. I'm just saying that. The one thing, the one metaphysical robotic thing that I absolutely cannot stand about Transformers 4 is that goddamn transformation bullshit. It wasn't a regular, the sped up auto molecule, whatever the fuck that Stanley Tucci character created. The spinneroony transformation shit.
The pixelate transform?
Yeah, I hate that.
That was so stupid.
I absolutely hate
that. So that leaves me to believe that Galvatron can never be killed. Yes. Because if you can transmorgify yourself into pixels, how are they going to disintegrate you unless they happen to catch you in a giant flamethrower? Yeah. And even then, your little robo bits can still connect to something else, and then it can, you know, eat it, absorb it, and then, yay, you got a new body. I mean... How does that even work?
I don't know.
I hate that film. That is the only one I do not own.
I know everyone, and this is true, so I'm not speaking, you know, out of my ass here. Everyone blames the writer's strike for what happened in Revenge of the Fallen. And that was a
product. Michael Bay wrote a better movie than 4.
And that was a product of its time. And there is really no excuse for the shitty writer. Like, even if, and I know they'd probably never do this, and I know you don't want to hear me say this, because I know you can't stand either one of them on the Transformers, but get rid of Aaron What's-His-Fuck. Get rid of him. He is the worst writer in Transformers history. He's even worse than Donald F. Glut. And Donald F. Glut is one of the worst Transformers cartoon writers ever. And it's one of those things where, I know you don't want to hear this, but 4 could have really used Orci and Kurtzman.
As that is to say, you're right. Even though they had nothing to do with 3.
Yeah.
And 3 was fine. 3 was pretty solid plot-wise, considering.
Yeah, for the most part.
I mean, and it pulled from some of the G1 episodes.
See, that was the other thing. That, you know, in the very beginning, Michael Bay's like, screw the fans. I don't care about the fans. I'm going to make my own movie.
3, I think, kind of resolved some of the issues. Well, was because it pulled from it.
Right. That's the thing. It's like, you need someone like Michael Bay, but is also a Transformers fan in that director's seat. You need someone who's going to be objective, yet homage the right Transformers history things. Michael Bay is not that person. He's just not. And as far as 5, 6, 7, and 8, I think it's too early to even, obviously, to even, do we even have a release date for any of these films or a release year for any? I mean, I know it's over the next 10 years, but oh my God, can you imagine 4 movies over the next 10? That's 2025.
Yeah, that's what they said.
God, that just...
I want nothing to do with the future Transformer films. I'm going to see him. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to see him. It's not like me skipping out on a Marvel movie, which I have done.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Ant-Man. and Thor. Although I would have watched Ant-Man before Thor. I have still not seen Thor the Dark World. Or the first Thor. All the way through. So, that being said. So I mean, I'm not really sure what direction they can take.
I don't know either.
I'd like to see Spielberg actually direct one.
I've said that too in the past.
And I want to see them get more, I don't know, less RoboBit parts and more, like smoothed out Transformers.
Well, the problem is the...
More sleek? I don't know.
Yeah, but the problem with that is you're always going to see the RoboBits because it has to physically look like they're morphing. Now, if all of this... And I know a majority of the transformations is CGI and all that stuff, but... You're right. It's just one of those things where it's probably never going to happen. Because Michael Bay wants you to see Devastator's balls going up inside of him. So it just...
Robo bits. I am Optimus Prime, and we have Robo balls.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah, that being said, I think I'd rather talk about BotCon at this point.
Okay.
Because it's just that much of a nicer atmosphere.
Absolutely.
So, BotCon 2016
mm-hmm.
is going to be in your hometown.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about this.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about this. So BotCon 2016 is going to be in Louisville, Kentucky, April 7th to the 10th, 2016. It's going to be at the Galt House Hotel and Convention Center, I believe. Or at least the Galt House is the hotel that they're using. I don't know exactly. Let's see. That's the hotel they're using. I don't know what the only convention center I know of outside of Freedom Hall or the Kentucky. There's one downtown here, but I'm not too sure. They haven't really said any details. Is it just going to be at the hotel? I don't think the Galt House. I've lived here 22 years. I've never actually set foot in the Galt House, so I don't know. I don't know if they actually have like a convention center set up in the hotel. I don't know if they have enough rooms for panels and for a convention floor. So they're probably going to use the Kentucky Fairgrounds or something or whatever for the actual convention. I don't know. But, you know, it's nice. I never thought it would be here. I know it was in Lexington back in 2006, and it was in Cincinnati.
The last time they did a Beast Wars one.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's only fitting that they return.
Yes.
Bastards.
Told you off air, as long as you can, you know, get your own tickets, you can always...
If they would have put it in Michigan, that would have been just great. You can move the venue maybe, right now. That'd be great.
Maybe next year they'll do that.
Yeah, I don't care next year. It won't be 20th anniversary.
That's true.
Yeah, and then not to mention that also, they've got Combiner Wars, Dawn of the Predacus.
Yep.
And their first figure is Tri-Predacus Agent Ravage.
I want this toy. I haven't wanted a toy in a long time because I'm...
I want the entire Combiner Wars, Beast Wars, 20th Anniversary Dawn of the Predacus because it's... I'm going to guess the next figures, there's going to be probably a Pterosaur.
Uh-huh.
There's probably going to be a Scorponok.
Uh-huh.
And there's probably going to be a Waspinator or somebody like that.
See, I don't
see... And then they're going to turn into Megatron.
I can see turning into Megatron, but not with Waspinator. I see Waspinator as more of a attendee figure, like the separate figure outside the box set, because Waspinator... I'd have to look at his TF Wiki page to see what other incarnations they've had of him, but he's a friggin' wasp. And how they're doing these and getting a combiner out of them is... Like, Ravage is a car. Tarantulas is a mobile assault-looking, you know, he's kind of like a, like one of those police APC vehicles.
It doesn't mean that they can't change him, but yeah,
Wasp. No, I know.
Pterosaur would probably be flyers.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you take Wasp and Inner and maybe put them in a Thundercracker kind of. I don't know how they're going to do it.
That's what they used anyway a couple years ago.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. But it just, when I hear Waspinator and Combiner Wars, it just doesn't, in my brain, I can't wrap my head around that. You know, if you'd have told me, let's see, you said Scorponok, Pterosaur and Waspinator. I say Scorponok, Rampage, and Dinobot 2. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm going to try something.
Uh-oh.
Don't know. I don't know if it's going to do anything, but...
Oh, boy.
Well, because they have the name... I'm playing around with the URL.
Oh. Oh, boy.
I'm trying to see if I punch in all of the Predacons' names...
You're never going to...
I'm pretty sure they're smart enough not to do that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
I'm
there's...
not the only fan thinking about this. yeah, you bastards. Yeah, because I started replacing all their names because it's the same file location and then it says reveal.
Yeah.
So I'm. Yeah.
I mean, dicks. You know, Ravage looks great in car mode. He looks great in robot mode. The only thing that I kind of don't like about his robot mode is he kind of has a Optimus truck chest to him, like a black Optimus, like a Scourge Optimus.
Unless you think of his, unless you think of it this way, it's like his G1 Ravage face just smushed.
No, I'm not. Well,
for his chest.
Oh yeah, okay. It still looks weird though.
It does look weird. I will admit that.
Because the problem I'm having is the stomach. It looks like the grill of a truck.
Now Tarantulas, I'm perfectly fine with.
Yeah, Tarantulas looks awesome. Hopefully no spider bits on him.
I really want it.
Yeah,
but I also really wanted that Megatron years ago too, and yeah. I couldn't get my hands on it.
I mean, Tarantulas is probably got to be the cleanest vehicle mode that I've ever seen out of some of these things.
It looks pretty slick.
Yep.
I'm really a fan of that.
Ooh, what if they got... all right, so we got Ravage and Tarantulas.
Let's make speculation.
You throw Scorponok in
there? I'm thinking Scorponok's going to be there because he hasn't had a re-release of any kind.
Okay, so you got... We already have Ravage and...
And I know they recopyrighted the name, so I'm pretty sure Scorponok's going to be there.
So you got Ravage and Tarantulas already. Potentially Scorponok. What if you had some sort of Black Arachnia as some
I don't think they'll do Black Arachnia, only because they're coming out with the Black Arachnia Legends figure, which is based off of the Transformers animated Black Arachnia, but they gave it a redeco head that's the Beast Wars Black Arachnia, and it's and they gave it the chesticles and the colors of the Beast Wars Black Arachnia, which it should be out either later this year or beginning of next year. I'm going to get that because it'll go nicely with my Dinobot, my Rat Trap, and my Waspinator that I have that are all show accurate.
So we got Scorponok as a potential. What about...
I wouldn't be surprised if Rampage is in there.
See, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Rampage and either...
Because Rampage could be the chest.
Yep. Because I'm thinking either Rampage for the second one or for the third one. I really hate using the flyers because it just with what we already know of Ravage and Tarantula, like Ravage is easily going to be either the left or the right arm as far as his combined mode because
transmutate.
Of...
No, that'd be cool,
dude. That is just so wrong.
Inferno.
Yeah, there we go. So
Inferno and Scorponok for the arms, or
whatever. Yeah.
Because Tarantulas and Ravage would make good feet, and then everybody likes walking on them. or make Scorponok with the feet. Nobody likes him anyway. And then Rampage can be the torso and the chest and everything that holds it all together. And yep. Then they combine to become either, the Predacus or Megatron.
See, I'm not sure if it's...
Because they had the Combiners become, like, Optimus Prime or Galvatron or...
Right. They had Optimus Maximus in the comics and in the toys.
So maybe Megatronus?
I don't know.
Or Megatron?
See, the problem I'm having is envisioning the classic Beast Wars character colors alongside what's already been revealed, and that wouldn't really, like, okay, we've got Ravage, we've got Tarantula, so we got purple, green, gray, and black so far.
Yes.
If you put Scorponok in there, wasn't he like a light grayish? Rampage.
He's kind of a gray purple, and Rampage is like a gold and orange and gray. Right.
And so,
but nothing says it couldn't be like Dragon Megatron when it's all put together color wise.
So it's all going to be red, really?
It could be. You don't know. I don't know.
The way that I've seen the Combiners toys and the way that I've seen the Combiners in the comics, I just don't...
You got to have an imagination, man.
I understand that. I just don't know how it's going to be either... I just don't know how it's going to be a Megatron. I could see if it's like, you know, Predacus or some other character, but I just don't know how it's... Now, if it's going to be an all-original body because of the body and then have a Megatron head...
Yeah, like that's separate, what I meant.
Yeah, I can probably see that, but I don't know how... We're going to have to come back to this and talk about it once we get the other three reveals and we can figure it out then.
Yeah, give it 3 weeks. They'll be out.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Joking. It'll probably be a month. Or longer.
Well, I don't know.
Must know now!
Well, BotCon's in April of next year, so we're on October, so they've got,
yes,
you know, 6, 7, 8 months now at this point, so it's not that far away.
No, not really.
And they actually picked a good month for this area of the country, considering, you know, normally if they would have done like a June or July one, it'd be hotter than hell here. April's not that bad here.
No, that's true.
So, are we ready to all hail Optimus?
Sure, you go ahead and unveil that.
So, New York Comic Con was just this past weekend, as of this recording, IDW had a panel at the convention there. They're on the road to Transformers issue number 50. Now, Transformers issue number 50, when I say Transformers, I mean the book that John Barber writes and Andrew Griffith is the artist on. This is the book formerly known as Robots in Disguise. So
I thought that was going to go in a completely different direction.
Huh?
I'm joking.
Anyway.
Don't mind me.
So, I usually don't. So,
bastard.
So, this ongoing was Robots in Disguise for the last 4 or 5 years, and then the new cartoon came along, and they dropped the Robots in Disguise, so it's just Transformers. But it's the same writer, same artist, overall story. So they're heading towards 50, and it says, according to TFW, we've learned that issue number 50 of the IDW Transformers comic book series will bring about a change in the relationship between the Autobots and the planet Earth via the story entitled All Hail Optimus. The creators of the series were interviewed by Newsarama for more details, blah, 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 blah. John Barber says, Transformers number 50 is the biggest thing we've done. It's called All Hail Optimus, and Optimus Prime annexes planet Earth to become part of the Cybertron's Council of Worlds. He takes control of Earth to protect it from invasion. Meanwhile, Optimus has thousands of Cybertronian followers who view him as the true Prime. They see him as having power above any elected office, above any normal being, and now Optimus is using the power they've handed to him, and he's using it for good. At least as far as he sees it, not everybody else agrees with him. So, for those that don't know, that haven't been reading the Transformers comics, this year they did a event called Combiner Wars, and this is where the new toys kind of come from, whatever else.
Yep, I saw that at BotCon.
Right. Combiner Wars was a 6-part storyline, which took Robots in Disguise, or book formerly known as Robots, took the main Transformers ongoing written by John Barber, and the now 7-issue Windblade series written by Margaret Scott, and they went back and forth between each other. Now, in Windblade's comic, Combiner Wars only lasts up until issue number 4 of that series, but the effects of that still continue on in her series as well as in Transformers. Basically, they reach out to all these other worlds, and there's supposed to be this giant council of worlds now and whatever else. So that's what John was talking about when he said that Optimus is going to annex Earth into the Council of Worlds. This looks really cool. It might get me to start reading the comic again. And like I said before, I want to read the comic again. It's just, ladies and gentlemen, these days I'm having a hard time to be motivated to do anything sometimes. So
Life said F you, and he said take it back.
Yeah, pretty much. Man, if I could rip Van Winkle the next 10 years, I'd love it. So yeah, they're on their way to 50, and the image that, the cover, one of the covers for issue 50 is, basically, Optimus has the whole world in his hands.
Optimus has the whole world.
So, it's an exciting time to be a Transformers comic fan, because we've got, like I said, Windblade just kind of wrapped up with issue 7. Margaret Scott is going to be writing and working on something starting next year, I believe in March, called Transformers Till All Are One.
And then after that series, they're all one.
Funny.
They become one giant robot.
You know, at this point, and I know where, because I actually interviewed John Barber a few months ago before all this news happened, but and it was mainly for the Gem comic that IDW does. But anyway, we did talk about Transformers. I wish I would have asked him then. Cause I asked him a question about the spotlights, because they used to do individual spotlights on characters like Jazz and Hot Rod and Blur and Blue Streak and whatever. I'm just pulling names out of my ass here, folks, but they used to do special spotlight one-shots per character. Now, because of the Combiner Wars storyline, what I would love to see is the Combiner Wars Titans, Superion, Devastator, all the big bots. All the big bots. What I would love to see is five or six issues of the comic where each issue focuses on one Titan and tell a story that way, maybe their origin or whatever. And I'm sure it's late, folks. I'm probably talking out of my ass here because there probably have already been the origin stories for these people. But I just want to know more about the Combiners. I want actual Combiner stories, not just, hey, we're going to fight over who has control of the Combiners. Which, it was a really damn good story, but I don't know. So,
I may eventually start reading Transformers again. I may.
I can point you in a couple of good directions.
Will I get lost?
No.
I just thought it was funny.
What do you think? I'm going to send you on your way to oblivion?
Galvatron would. Why wouldn't you?
No, actually, that was Unicron, not Galvatron.
Starscream liked it.
Oh, you're so totally missing the point here. Before Megatron gets changed.
Oh,
proceed.
Gave him a taste of.
Proceed on your way to oblivion. I'll accept your terms. I'll accept. You exaggerate. Anyway, where you want to...
Such heroic nonsense.
Yeah.
So, I guess to round out the show, and before we close it out, we actually have feedback.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Dragonsend from TFN.
Oh, okay.
Says, glad you brought the show back. I am not a fan of the new animation on TF RID.
Yeah.
Either. I do like Megatronus's design and Megatron and Prime, which is one of my favorites. The name of the show is weird. I just always write Robots in Disguise 2015 because obviously that Tar Robots garbage that came out in 2001. I too would like to see who they bring back in season two. TF Devastation looks great. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that next time.
I want to get my hands on it, at least rented, so I can play it. Because I don't have the money to get it right now. Plus, all the skins, I want to wait until everything's bundled on the same disc. When they do the, you know, best of edition. Because I don't like buying DLC. I'll wait until I can buy the game all in one package for the low dollar price of $20. Because I'm a cheap ass. She says also, I posted a new vid on the Facebook page for it, which has some cool behind-the-scenes stuff of Peter Cullen. Upset that there's no playable Decepticons, which I think is kind of sad.
Yeah, it's weird that the trailers show all the Insecticons and show Astrotrain and show all this other stuff. And like, it's the one good thing about the High Moon Studios games is you had two campaigns. You had Autobot campaign and Decepticon campaign.
Yeah, I wish that they would have had the Decepticons just because I never shy away from the ability to play as Megatron if I can help it.
Right, right.
Because, you know, Megatron's just...
Megatron.
Aha! He's a beast.
He really...
I'll be here all night.
He really can't be that noble to get his beast mode out of him.
Yeah. He could be a little savage, though. Oh, man. These are some horrible puns tonight.
Hey, it works.
Yeah. So, continuing on with that, we have Masterpiece line is good, which they do have some cool ones coming, like Shockwave and Hot Rod, not Rod.
Yeah, I kind of did a discussion with someone about this on Facebook a few weeks ago or whatever, whenever the first news first dropped about the prototype images, and I'm like, what's the point of having the same thing? Like, this is the at first I thought this was, oh, this is MP01 being reissued as MP04 and MP10 and MP11 and MP whatever. And they're like, oh, well, this is just a Hot Rod figure. This isn't Hot Rod Rodimus, you know, misaligned and malaligned together. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. I don't know. I just... out of the two Masterpiece things that you have here, I just prefer Shockwave over a second Hot Rod at this point.
I want Beast Wars Masterpiece. I don't care about anything else. I'm waiting for that Optimus Primal. Not the Year of the Monkey, Beast Machines, Transformers Red version of Primal. The Year of the Monkey Platinum Edition, yes, while he looks neat, it's the same damn figure, and I don't buy repaints.
You know what I really want?
It does. Don't get me wrong. It's got Prime colors, so he looks cool. But I have no intention, and they actually changed the Maximal symbol on him, if you look at the picture.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a picture of an ape built into an Autobot symbol. Mm-hmm. And it's the same figure as Blast Punch Primal. It's just they gave him Optimus Prime's color palette. You know, blue legs, red shoulders, red arms, you know, red chest, you know, gray and blue faceplate. I mean, it's exactly the same damn figure, but it does look cool, don't get me wrong. And I may change my tune when I see it in the store because, again, it's Primal, and it would go nicely with my collection on the wall. But I would much rather see a Masterpiece Beast Wars Optimus Primal than another repaint.
See, the one thing that I want out of, if they ever do, see, the problem with Masterpiece is it's mainly it's Takara that starts it.
Well, the funny thing is Takara did reveal during BotCon this year that they are going to be coming out with a Masterpiece Optimus Primal, and it is a monkey.
Okay. Well, that's...
And it's going to be show accurate. And I'm waiting... And they won't show you the beast or the transform mode. It's only the beast mode. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be, like, bigger and articulated. So it's... Right. It's I'm really, like, drooling at the mouth when I saw that information at BotCon. Because Michael Wilson was like, you know they're coming out with a Masterpiece Primal. And I was like, no, really? And he says, yeah. And so I was, like, running around trying to get Wi-Fi just so I could connect to my phone. I need to see this. And then we saw this like custom one that somebody did and it had like the hair on it and everything else and it looked really badass. And then we were like, oh, that's not real. And then we saw the Takara version at their trade show and nobody's heard anything since.
See, for me, what I want out of the Masterpiece line regarding Beast Wars and Beast Machines is for Beast Wars, I want, and I know this will never happen because it's four things in one and they'll never do this. I say that, and they've done Rodimus and Hot Rod together, but yeah, I want Optimal Optimus as a Masterpiece.
You know, I wouldn't disagree with you there because I have Optimal Optimus. I've had two versions of him, and well, two of the same figure. It's just I broke one. I was trying to turn him into the Optimal Megatron. But if they do Optimal Optimus...
You need a spark for that.
If they do Optimal Optimus, they need to have, like what they do with all these other kits, they need to have where the head is interchangeable to you can change it to the Beast Machine's Megatron head.
Yeah.
Well, you can pop the head and do that.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing that they really needed to do. The other thing, though, is I'm really hoping... I can't find a trace of this thing online anymore of the Optimus Primal Masterpiece.
So the other one that I would want for Beast Wars 30th anniversary outside of Optimal Optimus is...
Dragon Megatron.
No, not Dragon Megatron.
It's Transmetal Megatron.
No, not Transmetal Megatron.
I want it.
I want Cloak Megatron.
Yeah, Beast Machines, obviously. I've only talked about that for the last, like, 6 years.
No.
Because that would kind of tie in with the dragon though too, because he could still turn into the Dragon Megatron.
True.
It's just that he has the cloak. The wings turn into the cloak, and it's killing me looking at this Takara one because they got him standing there. They show like the Combiner Wars Devastator on this table at the Takara trade show that they showed during BotCon, and. It kills me looking at this picture because I can see the Masterpiece Ironhide,
mm-hmm.
who's standing, you know, obviously at crotch level of Devastator, right below his balls. I had to throw that in there with the Transformers movie talk. Anyways, they have him standing right there, and then Primal looks to be about a head shorter than Ironhide. But it shows like he is completely accurate to his Beast Wars robot or Beast mode.
Mm-hmm.
Like not one piece looks off. And
Ironhide actually have a head this time?
Yeah, it's completely like the cartoon.
Oh, good.
This is the only image of like Primal I can find. It's killing me. I need to see, like, and of course they're going to release it next year.
Mm.
I really want to see this, and I really want the Beast Machines Megatron. I've been,
you know,
pissing and moaning about that for years, and I really can't emphasize that enough.
You know, I really hate to say this, and I know I'm going to get a lot of flack from people for saying this. I wish, generally, what does a Masterpiece figure go for? I'm not talking about eBay, I'm talking about...
About $120.
Oh, damn. Well, they could,
let's put it into perspective. When I bought my first, and that's just low end, like, mm-hmm. I've seen them go higher, like up to $200,
right,
depending on the
figure. Right, but I'm saying, like, what's the...
No, this is retail.
Okay.
And I've seen, when the Masterpiece first came out,
mm-hmm.
MP01 Optimus Prime,
mm-hmm.
I got it at Target. They had an entire aisle of these things on an end cap.
Mm-hmm.
I got it for $60.
Wow.
When it was new.
It is
still, as a matter of fact, on my shelf directly behind my monitor. And I have my Dragon Megatron right next to him and my War for Cybertron Megatron next to that. So those are like my three figures that sit at my desk.
See, I was going to say something that would just be absolutely blasphemous because people would be like, no, do not give Hasbro this idea or do not give Takara this idea. And now that you tell me this, I don't think it would work. So, everyone knows about Matty Collector, right?
Yeah.
Matty Collector runs off a yearly subscription model for various toy lines that they have, and they market it as adult collectible. It's not sold in stores and whatever else. And this is why I'm saying I know Hasbro or Takara would never do this. I was thinking that Takara could do, and I know they would never do this, because I've said this before on the show, the Masterpiece level of Transformers toys, that's as high as you can. That's like being the friggin' president of the Transformers. It really is. Like, I mean, that's like the Transformers Hall of Fame kind of thing for a toy to be. Okay, take Bumblebee, please. You take
and throw him in the garbage. You know the
Wait. You take 1984, 1985 Bumblebee, little Scout Bumblebee from 30 some odd years ago. Okay. A few years ago, a couple years ago, I forget how, Bumblebee now is a Masterpiece Transformer. It took them 30 years to make, and that's what I love about the Masterpiece line, specifically the G1 characters, the cartoon, whatever, they go after that. So my original thinking when I was going to tell you this thought was, oh, Takara could do a 12-month subscription and just have you buy all the, and they could do 12 different Beast Wars Masterpiece figures, but it wouldn't work considering the prices of these figures, because the Mattel thing, I think after shipping or whatever, depending, you know, it's usually one figure per month. It's like 30 or 40 or 50 bucks or something like that for one figure. So I don't think obviously that's going to work for Takara. I was trying to think of how they could do more Masterpiece Beast Wars stuff in the 20th anniversary year next year without just only giving us a few, but I now realize, oh wait, but that's the point of the Masterpiece line. They come out not necessarily few and far between, but they come out a little bit more sporadically than a regular toy line to entice people to what's coming.
Yep, I get it. Can you dig it?
I can dig it, sucker. Sorry. Bad Booker T reference. You won't get it.
Well, I was doing the reference more so for that's how Jazz would.
Oh, yeah.
Because Jazz would be like, can you dig it? Yes, I can, Hong Kong Fooey. Thank you.
If they ever brought that show back, Phil LaMarr would be awesome.
He would have to be. Like, there's no way you could do that without him.
Like, you guys.
He is like the best like Scatman like wannabe like, and I know that he does it. I know he could do a Scatman, but he like his spin that he puts on it. It sounds so much better because it's his.
There's a clip because
he puts his own spin on the same thing. It's just
you can barely hear it. Well, you can hear it, but I think it was the second interview that I did with Phil, or it might have been the first interview. I don't remember. I think we've done two interviews with Phil LaMarr in the 7-year history of the GCRN. And in one of them, it was for the Transformers Animated, because we wanted to talk to him about Jazz and blah, blah, blah. And in the interview, I asked him, how did they go about... What did they tell you they wanted? Did they tell you that they wanted you to put your own spin on it and be Phil LaMarr's voice? Or did they tell you, we want Scatman? And he says something to the effect of, oh, well, if you want Scatman, once you have Scatman in your head, there's no going back. And then I asked him for a sample, and he actually did it, but it's really weird because I should have muted myself at that point because I was like so overjoyed and elated that he was actually like it was like Scatman was in my ear. I was like, oh my god! So I'll future that clip and you can put it in here somewhere because it was just freaking amazing. I don't think, in 7 years of doing interviews, I've only really fangasmed over a few things, and hearing Phil LaMarr do Scatman Carruthers as Jazz was one of them. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I've totally derailed the show, haven't I?
Yes. So I guess, and then finally, in the comments, she asked about Transformers RID out on DVD. So far, Shout Factory only has the first five episodes on a DVD set for $13.93 to be released October 20th this year. There is nothing there for the first season.
Well, the first season just ended, and they're...
It'll probably be in, like, January, February, they'll release information.
Yeah.
And then it'll probably come out in May.
And plus, they're still shopping around the second season, so the second season may not even air on Cartoon Network here in the States.
I hope not, because then it might live longer.
Well, yeah, but...
You know, it's only a matter of time before, and I'm making this call right now, Disney buys Hasbro.
Stop it.
I'm just saying, every time I predicted Disney's bought something, they bought something.
Just stop it.
Just saying.
Oh, boy.
We shall see.
Yes.
People are going to hate me if I'm right, though. although it would be much cheaper for Disney to make their Disney figures in-house. literally. Not only for the purposes of Marvel, but for the purposes of, that would be hilarious. Disney would get back the Transformers back to Marvel.
Yep.
who used to own them way back in the day, just like Star Wars. So they'd not only make their Star Wars, but they'd also make their Transformers figures. They'd be all one-stop shop for everything.
Yep.
Those bastards like to have their hands in many pies. So, yeah, that about rounds it out this week, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So,
we've pretty much hit everything, folks. We've hit toys, we've hit comics, we've hit the movieverse, we've hit...
And it was even fun to talk about the news, because we hit five major points.
Yep. We talked about BotCon. So, yeah. I'm trying to think. Oh, boy. So, I've been going back through several different things, and we've really come a long way in 7 years, considering some of the shit we said way back when. Oh, boy. It's crazy. So, that's what's going on with me. If anything to promote... I'll give Steve a link to put in the show notes. If you guys are looking for a Transformers comics talk, you can head on over to the pull bag. I have a whole list of episodes that we've done on Transformers comics. Most of it's the IDW stuff. There was one episode where Steve and I talked about the first 13 issues of the U.S. Marvel run. So there is that, but you guys can check that out. Powers of Grayskull is back. We're doing the Myths of Etheria, which is the She-Ra review show, so that's going on. Let's see, Showtime Synergy, which is the Gem show, that's going on. That's pretty much all I got.
As usual, I'll have a Altered Geek Unlimited coming out this week, among other things, and then look for changes on the website. So,
yep,
it's gonna be real.
Talking about transforming and transcending.
Bad puns. What you gonna do? Yeah, I just did that. Alrighty, so until next time.
We only usually sing the chorus. Don't nobody know the words to that song.
Transform and roll out.